Okay, chevra. So there is a garita in Sota Daf Hey Amid Aleph, going over to Hey Amid Beis, about the issue of gaiva. I think some of the garita is really very important. I mentioned last time it's kedai to just go through the Gemara on your own, like to get some sense of the gnus of how Be'er Chazal view. Gaiva, let me just make one ha'ara on the garita, and then we'll go on to halachic gemara. Four lines in the top, or five lines in the top. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, bo re'e kama gedolim nemuche ruach lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at how great people who are humble are to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person brings a carbon, the person gets schar for that one carbon that they bring. But if a person has ruach nemucha, a person is a individual without gaiva, so that is if you are makriv all the karbanos kulam. The pshat in the Gemara might be as follows. We know that there is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban at the beginning of Chumash Vayikra about what the rationale for hakrovas hakarbanos is. The Rambam basically takes the sur meira approach to karbanos. According to the Rambam, the idea of karbanos is that since the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do these things to connect to their deities, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to wean us off of that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu instituted karbanos for us as a way to make sure we don't do what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do. You get an impression from the Rambam there's like a certain natural urge to connect to deities through hakrevas hakarbanos, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what, we will, there's some psychological term for that, not transference, sublimate. We'll sublimate to the urge to be makriv karbanos avodah zarah, and instead you'll be makriv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban, however, takes the approach that a carbon is, we are supposed to live vicariously through that animal, or die vicariously through the animal, as the case is. In other words, according to the Ramban, the idea is that a person is supposed to think that, oh, they're sprinkling the blood of the animal, my blood was supposed to be sprinkled because of the aveiros that they did, they're burning the animal on the Mizbeach, I deserve to be burned, etc., etc. Right? According to the Ramban, the idea of a carbon is that a person should feel that whatever is happening to that animal should really be happening to himself or herself. That's what the Ramban writes. The pashtus in this Gemara, I think, is if someone is a ruach nemucha, someone is a person who feels lowly, so that means that the person really views herself like she deserves all the onshem. And if you view yourself like you deserve all the onshem, so memela, that's as if you're being makriv all the karbanos, because in Ramban's worldview, hakrava of all the karbanos is to attain this feeling of shiflus, and the person who genuinely has that feeling of shiflus is accomplishing what all the karbanos accomplish. I think that, again, I think that could be the pshat in the Gemara. Additionally, the Gemara says, and it sounds like it's a bigger chiddush, that ein tfilaso nimeses. The tefillah is never disgusted. You get an impression from the Gemara that on a certain fundamental level, our tefillos should never be accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. If Soloveitchik writes about the impossibility of mortal man, he means man and woman, the impossibility of mortals to connect to something that is so transcendent, something that's so far beyond anything. We should not be able to even be mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We begin showing the essay by saying Hashem is Vasai Tiftach, which by the way is also in that same parak of Tehillim, Tehillim Nun Aleph. That's the parak in Tehillim about Tshuva that David HaMelech wrote. So until Nun Aleph, we say Hashem is Vasai Tiftach, Ufi Yagetil Osecha. Basically, we're saying that Ebishter I can't even open my mouth in front of you. My tefillah should never be makubal to you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you know what, if a person is a genuine nefesh nemucha, a person genuinely feels like she is lowly, so such a person's tefillah can't be disgusted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Hasidus, they speak about how true godless only comes from genuine shiflos, meaning that a person who really feels like they are nothing, that doesn't mean that they're nothing. What that really means is that they're saying, whatever I have, whatever talents, whatever attributes, whatever strengths I have, are all because of the Ribono Shel Olam. It's coming from a sense of bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to the extent that a person is mevatel herself to the Ribono Shel Olam, that's the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, hey, how can I be mo'ais in your tefillah when you are coming from a place that you're so connected to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be mo'ais in our tefillah. So I think that's the idea that the Gemara is getting at, that shiflus represents the goal of karbanos, and shiflus is also a component in successful tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't disregard the tefillah of a person who's genuinely a shafel. Good? Now should we learn halachic Gemara? Zakti Gemara. The Mishnah tells me, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, how is it that a person goes about doing kinoi? The Mishnah says a person goes about doing kinoi, that the fellow warns his wife, he says, al tadabri im ish ploni. He says, don't speak to so-and-so. Did I tell you this story? When my brother-in-law was teaching in Yeshiva Flatbush, so he had a kid in his class who was a real Eloy. The kid ended up, actually, he was featured on the front page of the New York Times at one point, that he analyzed different languages and things that are valuable in that language based on particular words that appear in Google in that language. And the ratio of how often those words appear shows what people in nation X, Y, and Z consider to be really important, which is actually kind of cool when you think about it. So this guy had he was a nut. He was an absolute nut job. My brother-in-law asked questions about what is Keren and Chomesh. So this guy answered the Jewish Hebrew book and the Jewish holy book and the Muslim holy book. That's absolutely brilliant. No, instead of Keren v'Chomesh, he answered Koran and Chomesh. The man is brilliant. No, it takes because if you write without nekudos, no. So my brother-in-law asked something: Mata mitzvahs kashrus. What's the reason for the mitzvah of kashrus? So this guy wrote a long essay about how matzos don't really taste good because they're brittle, etc. Right? He interpreted as matzos kasheros. My brother-in-law, on a different exam, asked, what exactly is kinui? And this brilliant guy wrote, do not seclude yourself with any Polish men. That's brilliant. Out history and ish palani. It's absolute. It's gaynus. Again, you have to be warped to be a gayn. Right? This is fine. Weiter. So you could ask my brother-in-law. He's teaching in GPETS next year, so he'll be around.
So get the answer right.
So okay. So the rule I have, by the way, just for the final exam coming up. If your answer is so wrong that I start to laugh when I read it, you get full credit. That's my basic rule in life.
If you don't know the answer, just make them.
Yeah, but it better be really funny.
Like that funny.
Yeah. Right, because you have to be so bad that it's so wrong.
No,
do a multiple choice test and you get everything wrong.
Yeah, that means
that's real talent. You do every answer.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Mishnah says that what exactly is kinoi? So kinoi is that you say atidabri im ish ploni, and then she goes and dibra imo, so she's muteres. So the Gemara is bothered by an inherent stira. Hagufakash amrit amar la bifnei shneim atidabri im ish ploni. Im ish ploni zeh, that you say in front of two people, do not speak to ish ploni, don't speak to this fellow. For some reason, the Gemara's Lashon is ish ploni zeh. In the Mishnah, we don't have the word zeh. I don't know exactly why that's true, but it might be significant. So the Gemara is medayik. After dami mishplaini, it sounds like dibor would be stira. Right? The husband's telling the wife, don't seclude yourself. And the husband is just trying to use a language, an expression that is not as graphic. It's not as threatening, right? So he says, oh, don't even speak. But he really means stira. But yet, later on in the mission, it says, dibra ima, she does that thing, she's mutares. Why is she mutares? Obviously because the word dibor does not mean stira. So we have a contradiction in the Mishnah. What does the word dibor mean? The beginning of the Mishnah implies that dibor is a euphemism for stira. The end of the Mishnah sounds like dibor means it's just speech. So which one is it? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, and according to some, the Gemara's answer is that it's really a chasuri mechsera. We're really like adding words in. The Gemara's answer is, Hachi kama al tadabi v'dibra al tadabi v'nistera al tistari v'dibra, she's still muteres, but nichnasa imo lebeis ha-seser v'shasa k'day tuma, then she's asura, etc. So effectively what the Gemara answers is that dibor really is not an expression of stira at all. And how come at the beginning of the Mishnah it sounds like dibor is an expression of stira? So we add like a word in the middle. If a husband says al tidabri, and then she does anything, she's not asura. But if he says al tistari, then it is, then she can be asura. So the word dibor, ultimately, according to the maskana of the Gemara, has nothing to do with real stira. Even if the husband's kavana, when he uses a lashon of al tidabri, is for stira, still it doesn't help. Ad kan divrei haGemara. Now Tosis over here works a little bit hard on the sugya. Tosis asks, how come the Gemara doesn't pull the same line that the Gemara at the beginning of Makos says? Right, the first Mishnah of Makos writes, Ketzar ha'edim nasum zomimin. How did Edom become Zaymim Eden on the Bish Plain? Yishu ben Grusha ben Chalutza Enom, and yes, Zeb ben Grusha ben Chalutza Tavtava Yolok Abayim. But that's the first Mishnah. So, Frek the Gemara, Ketzer Edom Nasim Zaymim Eden, Ketzer Eno Edom Nasim Zaymim Eden Bayolay. Zaymim Eden means that you get exactly the same punishment that you intended to mete out. In that case, you don't get the same punishment. So, it should be Ketzer Eno Edom Nasim Zaymim Eden. So, Tosfos says, how come our Gemara doesn't use that lashon? How come our Gemara doesn't say, Ketzad eno mekanala? What is not kinoi? Oh, dibor is not kinoi. How can the Gemara doesn't do it like that? Or ketzad mekanala? Ketzad ein mekanala meboyalei? Maybe the Gemara should have asked that question. So Tosfos works very hard. Basically, I think Tosfos is saying that kasha couldn't be answered. And basically, the way Tosfos emerges from Tosfos is the same thing we just explained in the Gemara. We have a contradiction within the Mishnah, what dibor means, and ultimately the answer of the Gemara is that dibor is not kinoi. Tosfos also quotes from a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi sounds like the word dibor is an attempt at Lashon Nekiyah, no? I always thought that the pshat in this was as follows. The psukim in Mishle speak about the Isha Zona, that Rachitza Piha V'Amra Lo Pa'alti Oven, right? So the word Peh in those psukim in Mishle sounds like it's an expression of Znos. No, isn't that? Doesn't Shlomo Melch do this a couple of times? I learned Mishle with my daughter for her bas mitzvah, and like part of it was like, oh boy, you're 11 years old. Maybe we should go on. We'll skip that part. But okay, but I think the Mishle keeps on having Mishalem about the Isha Zonda. That's like a constant theme in Sefer Mishle, no? So dibor, I think, is because the psukim in Mishle speak about the oso makum of anisha. They call it piha, rachitza piha, right? V'amra lo pa'alti oven. So the expression of dibor and znus are connected, And that's probably part of what's going on in the Gemara, and certainly that's what the Yerushalmi refers to, that maybe Dibur is a Lashon Naki. Okay, fine. So, B'kitzur Ma'asa, the Gemara tells me that if a husband warns his wife, don't speak, that is not a effective kinoy, end of conversation. Now, some of the Achrayim of Bala Vayikasha, I gave you a Gemara in Yevamis on Nunhei, where the Gemara basically really ups the game as to what is called kinoy. The Gemara says that kinoy has to be that the husband is warning his wife not to have actual znus, not to have actual sex. But if a husband warns his wife, l'shekineila derech evarim, he warns that they're being together without full-fledged intercourse, but they're being together with other types of sexual activities, which are not full-fledged intercourse, that's also not considered kinoy. The Gemara says kinoy has to be only for sex, right? And there's a whole discussion about ha'ara'a in the Gemara, to what extent is that beginning of the act, the neshika sevarim, whether that's considered a kinoy or not. But ultimately, the Gemara in Yevamos Nun Hei tells us that a kinoy has to be only for actual intercourse. Anything short of actual intercourse is not kinoy. So the Mefarshim are bothered by the Kasha, what exactly is going on over here? You see, kinoy has to be, the halacha is that a husband can be meichel the kinoy. A husband can do kinoy, then the husband can say, I'm meichel. And kinoy has to be that the husband is accusing her of actually tashmish hamita. Let's say the husband even uses the words of tashmish hamita, but in his mind, he's thinking of something else. Let's say the husband in his mind is saying, I don't really think she's having an affair, but I think she's fooling around. That type of thing. So that is not called a full-fledged kinoy. That's not called kinoy halacha. What?
How do you know what he's thinking?
So we don't know what he's thinking, but if he tells us what he was thinking, if he shows up in Beis Din, he says, by the way, yes, I warned my wife not to be with this guy, not to have an affair with him, but what I was thinking was messing around, not actually having an affair. So in that situation, that's not kinoy. That's the halacha. You had a comment, Abigail?
What he thinks will happen in the future, no? Not what he thinks happened in the past.
Well, he's warning her about, don't do this activity. If I see you do this activity, it will trigger sota process, right? If there's stira, if you're secluded, and then I'm going to assume that you're doing this activity, and that would trigger sota. But this activity has to be a full-fledged affair. If the husband thinks, right, this was...
But he doesn't think that she had already done that. She thinks that her actions now might be for that.
Well, again, either he suspects that she did it in the past and now he's warning her about the future, or he's worried she'll do it. But kinoy means that he is suspecting her of having a full-fledged affair. Right? This was the way out that we had at the beginning of the year. We had that discussion about, what's his name, Rav Meisels, the Rav of Lodz, who once warned his wife not to allow the Meshulach, not to allow the Shnur into the house, and then, right? Remember we had this whole conversation, the Shuvan, the Beis Halevi, etc. What? It was on the midterm, that's correct. Right? Way back when, we had a midterm,
yeah.
So way back when, there was a Rav and Lodz, and he warned his wife, etc., and he's worried, maybe she's going to be Asura. So the answer that the Beis Halevi has at the end of his tshuva on this case is no, that's not kinoy at all, because kinoy means that you suspect that you had an affair. So if that's the case, if kinoy means that you suspect that you had an affair, and an affair has to be like a full-fledged affair, even derech evarim, or whatever the Gemara mentions here in Yevamos Nun Hei, is not called an affair, so what on earth is the hava amina that dibur would suffice? If the husband says a lashon al tadabri, how on earth could that possibly count as a kinui when the only thing that is a kinui is accusation of an actual affair in the full sense of, like, intercourse. But nothing short of that counts as a kinui. So what exactly is going on in our Gemara? So the pashtus in our Gemara is that the case has to be that the wife knows that she's being accused of having an actual affair, and the husband knows he's accusing her of having an actual affair, but the husband doesn't want to speak out, doesn't want to use the word affair, so he uses the word tadabri. It's a euphemism that everybody knows what it means.
But according to the opinion, it's not a euphemism.
So, let's go slowly. So I think the pshat in the Gemara might be like this. We think that al-tadabri might be a good kinui, because it's a euphemism that everybody knows what it is. The answer is that no. Even if everybody knows to be a kinui, it's not enough that everybody knows. It has to be that the language itself means it. Right? The reason why al-tadabri im ish ploni is not a good kinui is despite the fact that everybody knows what he's talking about, and she knows exactly what he's talking about. And this could be for one of two ways. It could be because, like in certain countries, in certain Hasidic kehillas, they have language that everybody uses the language one way, and everyone knows what it means. Like by Hasidim, they don't speak about cancer. They speak about yena machala. No? You have that disease. Right? Fruma knows exactly what I'm talking about. Right? So there are certain things that, like, everybody knows what it means. But that's not enough for a kinoi. A kinoi has to be that the language actually means it.
But that's not what stira means either.
So stira is that she secludes herself in the room.
But that's not a full.
And then we think that she did whatever it is that we were thinking that she did beforehand.
This, if we want it to be that he says exactly what he means, then he should have to say Tashmishamita. He shouldn't have to
exactly
say Sira.
So
yeah, now we're saying that Sira does.
So that's your kasha. That's your kasha is how come la halacha, if a husband says altistiri amishploni, that is a good stira. All it means is seclusion, and the way I just set it up, it has to be. That's actually a good kasha. If the language has to also mean it,
Wait, what's the kasha?
In other words, I'm interpreting this Gemara to mean that the kinui has to not only be understood to refer to intercourse, but they have to use a language that the words itself mean intercourse. And that's why al-tadabri, even if everybody knows what it means, in your Hasidic community, the word speaking means speaking, right? In bimlo muvan hamila. But nonetheless, it's not a good kinui. Because to be a good kinui, so then Abigail's asking, one second, so how could altistery end up being a good kinui? Because altistery does not mean don't have tashma shamita.
Was there something in Tosfot at some point that, like, maybe, like, you threw out the suggestion of, like, oh, but in order for that to happen, like, the steer is, like, when we say altistri, like, that is, like, the baseline that, like, steer is already happening, even if other, maybe this was in Yavamo, like, other stuff's already happening. Well, the steer, if you said altistri, like, you're still covered, like, you still have a blanket cause over, but if you, like, specified something specific but something else happened.
No, but the question, again, the question though is, I'm not sure which line you're referring to in the Tosfos.
I don't know if I even understood it correctly. I don't know if it's in the Tosfos and Yavamot, maybe.
Let's take a look. Tosin Yavamis is saying like this, The word alt history itself is a good kinoi. But if the husband specifies more, he says alt history for derech evarim or something, then it's not a good kinoi. Right? That's what Tosfos in Yevamah says. But the question that Abigail is asking is still, how could alt history itself be a good kinoi if what I'm saying is that stira does not really mean Tashmish Shamita, and you have to really mean Tashmish Shamita? I don't know. See, some of the Mefarshim comment, and when the husband uses the expression of Al Tadabri, what he's really doing, I was discussing this with Eli Sheva a little bit during Seder, maybe what the husband is really doing is the equivalent of Chava saying, you know, don't even touch the fruit. Don't even speak. Right? It's like very yeshivish high school. No, don't even speak, because it's going to lead to mixed dancing. Right? Whatever. So, maybe that's the approach, but even so, that's not a good kinoi, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, because it has to be... I have to think about your kasha. I don't know the answer.
It also doesn't make sense to me that if you say alt history and more, that also wouldn't be valid. Like, why is that not valid?
Again, if he says alt history with derech evarim, so that undermines the alt history. Because alt history itself would mean full-fledged Tashmish Shamita, but if he specifies more, right, that's what Tosfos Yevamah says. If he specifies more, he says, oh, I'm only suspecting that you're messing around, so don't seclude yourself and mess around. That undermines the alt history. That undermines the kinoi. I'm just jotting down the notes. I remember to look it up.
Could you say, like, something, like, how the
pasuk
says
v'nistura?
Maybe that could help.
Oh. But the Torah says v'nistura as the stira itself, right? Kinoi itself, the Torah doesn't... The Torah writes, V'kinei es ishto. Right? What does V'kinei es ishto mean? So we had the discussion of Beis. Does it mean he warns her, or he's jealous of her? Or he has kas on her, right? Those were the different possibilities. V'nistra v'hinitma means that she secluded herself, and therefore we presume that there was tuma, that she had an affair, because after the warning, when she secludes herself, so we presume that she was nitma. Yeah. I just don't know. I think what Abigail is asking is that the word nistera itself is also euphemistic to some extent. Oh, so she secluded herself. It doesn't mean... I mean, but then again, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. In halacha, we do assume hein hein ede yichud, hein hein ede biya. Right? The halacha never requires the edim to actually see, like the Gemara Makis calls it, kimacho b'shvoferes. You never have to actually see, like the plunger in the bottle. Right? That's the expression in the Gemara. You never have to see it like that. Right? Eide Yichud is good enough. But still, Lamai said it, right? Your kasha is still good kasha. I don't know the answer. I have to think this through. Yes?
So adding to Abigail's question is two things. So if we're saying, okay, the minister is a problem because, like, maybe of language, because it's not actually, like, it's supposed to be saying, like, it's still sort of euphemistic, isn't it? So why was there the whole discussion about Kedish, Tumah, or Shir Tumah? Because then, if we're saying, oh, the language itself has to be explicit, then why is there even a conversation about Shir Tumah? It's not saying that, like, Vade, we know. Like,
no. So the language of Nistira means don't seclude yourself, but the accusation is an accusation of an affair. So it has to be that the seclusion lasts long enough for a real affair to take place.
But unless there's an Eid Tumah, we don't know.
We don't know for sure, and that's why I have the hashga'ah sota process. In other words, ultimately the woman can be found innocent, right? She drinks the water, and right, v'niksa v'nizra zara. She's going to end up having wonderful, beautiful, strong children as a result of this. And a chanami, that could be, but there is enough of a presumption in halacha that she's considered a sota sufik after the stira. But the kinoi has to be like a clear warning of it.
Yeah, but then because that makes sense.
But
so how come this?
Because if you're warned, you don't care what she does when she's in Sira.
I do care. Well, in other words, if
a
husband tells his wife, don't have yichud with the guy and play parcheesi. Right? Don't be secluded and play parcheesi. So playing parcheesi is actually not a necessary. Right? So if he's only suspicious that she's playing parcheesi when they're in yichud, that's not a problem. By the way, no one ever plays parcheesi anymore, right? It's like totally dead.
No, I still have it on my
phone. I literally
never
heard
of it.
No, but she's going to become subject to drinks, mesota, when she does stira. If they're ADC.
When she does stira, if the husband's kavana in warning her is, don't do the type of stira that means bia. If we know, if we would ask the husband and he says, oh, when I said not to have stira, I meant not to play parcheesi, so then she's not asura. Right? That's what we get from Nagamar Yevamis. Even if the husband is saying, I meant derech evarim, that's not enough. But somehow the word nistira, or altistiri, that word means bia. I guess that's probably the pshat. The pshat probably is that in Mishnaya Hebrew, the word stira meant seclusion to have sex. That's probably what it meant. As opposed to the word dibor, which didn't mean that in Mishnaya Hebrew. That's probably the answer. Again, I don't think in these terms, but I think that's what emerges from the Gemara. Hi, Sarah.
Would that be connected to, like, I know with, like, Mrs. Price, we learned about Gemara with Ima Shalom, and it's, like, Meseperet is the language that's used instead of whatever, so, like, then that's also...
Right, like, so, again, so those are euphemistic expressions for Tashmish Hamita. Mm-hmm. Correct. I mean, that's what I was trying to prove from the Psukim and Mishlei, etc. I think speech is a well-known euphemistic expression, right? But afilo hachi, the Gemara says, even though it's a well-known euphemistic expression, because it has other meanings also.
But stira does also.
So that's Abigail's question. Stira also has other meanings. Don't seclude yourself. But for some reason, the stum at the most is stira means tashmish hamita, and stum at the most is that dibor just means speech. I don't know. Do you have a question, Eliana?
I was going to ask, the husband just said, like, don't have tashmish hamita with, like, this person. Does that work as, like, a kinoi?
I'd assume so. You're saying that maybe it has to be don't have Tasha Shamita in a confined area.
Would you have to say both? And then Sira would imply also Tashmish?
If a husband says don't have Tasha Shamita in a confined area, and then there's Sira, but still, the assumption is once there's Sira, we assume that they have Tashma Shamita. I think that's exactly the case, right?
So, like, just saying, like, if I was going to say his wife, like, don't have Tashmish Hamita, like, this person, now, that's a valid kinoi.
If he would say, just don't have Tashmish Hamita, so that's what I'm not sure about. If the husband just says, don't have Tashmish Hamita, doesn't the husband also have to warn her about not secluding herself?
Right, so then which if, the kinoi is really about the stira, more so than the, or is it really both parts?
I just lost you.
So, if that wouldn't work, they're just saying, don't have Tashmish Hamita, then the main point of kinoi would then be, like, the stira.
Right.
So then why wouldn't just saying stira work?
I'm just saying stira does work. Just saying stira is a good kinoi. Altistiri is the expression of kinoi.
And then, like, fine, so that was basically, like, that was
right. Okay, chevra. Vayter in the Gemara. So the Mishnah tells us that this woman who's a suffix sota, meaning that there is kinoi, and then there is stira, so she can technically get off the hook if she drinks the water. But if the husband dies before she drinks the water, so zok the Mishnah, choletzes velo misyabemes. In that case, the husband dies, so usually when the husband dies and the couple doesn't have children, so there is a choice that the brother of the dead guy either can do chalitza or can do yibum. And Svardi halacha is that mitzvahs yibum kodemes mitzvahs chalitza, that you try to do yibum na chalitza. Ashkenazi halacha is that we don't allow yibum even before. One of the takanot of the Medina in the 1950s was that no one could do yibum in Medinat Yisrael. No, the Rabbanut came out with like three takanos. Whatever. So one of them was not to allow Yibum, and this was like when Chacham Avadi Yosef was like a little boy, and he's like the chief rabbi in Egypt, and he said, one second, but that's against the halacha, because the halacha for Sfaradim is that you have to do Yibum. And can the government, can the rabbanut have the right to make a law not to do Yibum? I think it's against the law in Israel to do Yibum. Whatever. Okay. Hello, Shira.
Hi.
How are you?
So, basically, quick question. This might be a dumb question, but why can't a woman have, what's it called, Yibum? Like, what's the halacha if the woman does have children, and then basically the husband?
So, if the woman does have children and then marries her dead husband's brother, that is called arayos. There's a whole list of arayos. One of those arayos is Eshes Ach, no? The wife of your brother is an Erva. Now, doesn't that go against the whole Yesod of Yibum? The answer is that there's something called Chutra, which is that we're Matir, the Isser of Eshes Ach, B'makom Mitzvahs Yibum. That means that if you are not fulfilling the Mitzvah of Yibum, so then it remains an Isser Arayos of Eshes Ach. Chayve Misos. It's like really bad. In fact, Rashi at the top of Vav Amir Aleph. Rashi at the top of Vav Amir Aleph has a line that if you do Yibum in these cases of our Gemara, so you end up violating the Isser of Arayos. Right? The top Rashi writes, Memela Ashminon Kra, the Asr Li Yabma, the Lo Shayach Bayibum, Vehev Yeke Eshesach Shalobim Kom Mitzvah. Right? It's like Eshesach Shalobim Kom Mitzvah, which means Arayos. Eshesach is Mutter Bim Kom Mitzvah, Shalobim Kom Mitzvah, it's Asr. So basically, the husband died, and now she should fall to Yibum to the husband's brother. But because she's a Suffolk Sota, because there is Kinyan Stira, so, therefore, the Mishnah says, Choletzes v'lo misyabemes, that she gets chalitza, not yibum. Frek the Gemara, Amai tisyabim nami yibumi. The Gemara asks, why are you only getting chalitza? Let her get yibum also. How come? I think this Gemara's question is sort of like, duh. Like, I don't know if the Gemara has like any amkus in the question. It's saying like, why? Like, why not? Right, it's you're saying no yibum. Why not? Right, it's I don't think there's any deep kavana in the kasha. So the Gemara answers no. It's based on the pasuk v'yatzim based on a hocha v'haysol ish acher. The Torah in Parshas Kiseitze writes that the woman leaves the home and she marries somebody else, and that means la'acher v'lo liyavum. Okay, so what is that pasuk talking about? Kiseitze, you were bothered by this kasha during Seder, Sarah.
It's talking about regular divorce.
Regular divorce. Right? The pasuk basically says that a husband marries his wife and he doesn't like her. So, because of los sefer krisus v'nosan biyada, he writes a get and he gives it to her. V'yotzami beisor, she leaves his home and she can marry somebody else. V'holcha v'haysor le'ishacher, she can marry somebody else. So that pasuk is talking about gerushin. Over here, we're not talking about divorce. We're not talking about gerushin. We're talking about sota yibum. None of that is here in the pasuk. So what does this gemara mean? This gemara is deriving from a pasuk of v'holcha v'haysal ish acher, la'acher v'lo liyavam. What is the gemara talking about? How can we derive anything from a pasuk about gittin to something that has to do with sota, yibum, etc.? Who asks this kasha? Besides me? Rashi. Nachon. Right? So Rashi, do you ask of Yotzami Beso? So Rashi is bothered by the Kasha. How does Rashi answer the Kasha, Chevra? You should know, I have a bunch of sujjas that I assign to guys to get into Smicha. You have to like prepare a Gemara for like 2 hours and then meet with me and like we talk in learning. So this is one of the Gemaras that I assign. So if any of the guys are listening to this shiur, they will have a leg up on getting into Smicha. Okay, we'll leave it like that. Huh? Abigail, yes?
I said we're going with
So what does Rashi say? V'yotza mibeiso. Zuck Rashi. So Rashi first of all points out that there are extra words in the Torah. Le'elmi k'siv kimotza ba'erbas dovar. V'yotza mibeiso. The Torah says he found something wrong, this erbas dovar, so the husband sends her away. Le'ish acher lama li l'michtav. Why does the Torah have to write that she marries somebody else? If the Torah is telling me that the get allows her to get remarried, in other words, I would have thought that a get only severs the relationship between the husband and the wife, but maybe permission is not granted for her to marry anyone else. If it's to permit her to marry someone else, lichta v'yotzim beisov ha'isa le'ish. Lama lila michtav la'acher. Right? How come the Torah has to write that word la'acher? That word is extra. Ela lema'ute yivama hechadologia shabal acha shamatza ba'erva stavar. Rather, it's coming for a case of yivama when the husband did not divorce her and we found erva stavar, which means it's like a suffix sota case by yivama. What Rashi is basically doing, and this requires a lot of Talmudic adroitness. Right? What Rashi is basically doing is he's saying, we have the word la'acher, which is an extra word in that pasuk. And because there's an extra word in the pasuk that's about divorce, what we will do is we say, oh, the pasuk is not talking about divorce at all, rather it's talking about a yibum situation after a suffix sota happened. Hey, that's exactly what Rashi does. This is called, I don't know what, this is called totally interpreting. I think Dr. Elman, Zecharino Levracha, had the term the omnisignificance of every word. That was like one of his things. So the omnisignificance means that because every word in the Torah has to have omnisignificance, so memela, I can make a drasha that I have a word that's completely extra. I don't need the word. That word, la'acher, so that word, la'acher, teaches me something completely unrelated to what the pasuk is really talking about. And the funny thing about this Gemara is the Gemara is going to have four mahalchem as to how come the suffix sota does not get yibum. Three of the four are based on this same pasuk of la'acher, no? One, two, and three are all based on the same pasuk, and like when you really scratch your head, you're like, why? Why and how? How can you learn from a pasuk that has no shayichus? Has no shayichus. Vahachi mishtamay kra. Let's just finish this Rashi. It's like two lines before the lines get wide in Rashi. Vahachi mishtamay kra. This is what the pasukim mean. Ki matzu ba'ervas davar yigarshena b'sefer krisus. A husband finds ervas davar about his wife. He should divorce her. V'yotza mibeiso. Kilomar, ubechotzache, takes emi beso, benay de gavishen, benay de misa, in busli nase, ishachertina se, veloli yavam. Any way that this marriage ends, whether it's through gavishen or misa, you cannot marry a yavam. If the marriage ends, ayide a get, she is not allowed to marry the husband's brother. La'acher v'lo liyavam. Right? She can only marry the husband's brother if the husband died. If the husband divorces her, so then she cannot marry the husband's brother. La'acher v'lo liyavam. And if the marriage ends because the husband died, but it's a sota situation, then it's la'acher v'lo liyavam. Whenever there is ervas davar, Ervas Dover can trigger two things. Ervas Dover can be a siba, a reason for a get. Or Ervas Dover can mean that this woman is a suffix sota. But in either situation of Ervas Dover, la'acher v'lo liyavam. You can marry someone else. You can't marry the husband's dead brother. And the reason you can't marry the dead brother is because the dead brother is not considered an acher. The dead brother, in halachic terms, is an extension of, or the living brother is an extension of the dead brother. So you can't marry him because la'acher, you can only marry somebody else. A yavam, by definition, is not an acher. Whenever there is ervas davar, you can only marry an acher. You cannot marry a yavam because a yavam is not called acher because a yavam is an extension of the brother. That's what the Gemara means. Tosis over here, the first Tosis la'acher lo yavam, is bothered by kashas that sometimes the yavam is viewed as being an acher. Tosis answers that's for dinim drabonon. That's not the Tosis I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the little Tosis la'acher lo yavam, etc. And then to focus basically for next time we learn for Wednesday night after dinner when we learn. So I want to get to the Mishnah, focusing on these Tosis. The Tosis Eishes Kohen Shne'ensa is a Tosis in Yevamos Daf Pei Daled that answers. I also gave you a Mari Makom in a Rush in Yevamos and the Rambam in Parak Vav Halacha Yud Tes of Hilchos Yibam. That's what we should do for next time. Yes, Abigail.
Besides for, that's not what the Mishnah says, is there a reason that we don't make, after the husband dies, we don't make her drink the mesotah and then decide based on that?
Right, so the psukim sound like that v'hishka habal es ha'isha, that the husband has to be the one who gives her the drink. Once he's dead, he can't give her the drink. Er shon gestorben. Okay? So that's why... Okay, Chevra. What else is good in Judaism? Baruch Hashem.